In a press conference held on the 16th of April, Singapore Deputy Prime Minister and Minister for Trade and Industry, Gam Kim Yong, led the Singapore Economic Resilience Task Force, held its first meeting. Flanked by a multi-agency task force addressing the nation on the growing economic challenges arising from the recent wave of US tariffs. Announced unilaterally by the United States as part of its latest protectionism push, the tariffs have created significant headwind for open trade-dependent economy like Singapore. The task force laid out Singapore's official assessment of the situation. The tariffs, while not directly targeting Singapore, undermine manufacturing output and spark a cautious tone across key economic sectors. Most worryingly, job insecurity is rising, and early signs of a slowdown have begun appearing in the residential property market. This video will examine the key sector hardest hit, the change in the labor market, and examine the impact to the property market. And lastly, how the Singapore government plans to cushion the fallout through various economic schemes. Although Singapore maintained a free trade agreement or FTA with the United States, the interconnected nature of global trades means Singapore exports often include intermediate goods and components originating in China, Vietnam, or even Malaysia, countries now facing significant tariffs from the US. These tariffs across key categories like electronics, automotive parts, and chemicals have reduced demand for Singapore manufactured goods, increased operation costs for local companies, and led to a dampening of global investor sentiment. Some of the hardest hit sectors may include the electronic and semiconductor industries. US tech firms may delay or reduce orders, and this will have impact to local wafer fabrication plants. Firms that manufacture high-precision tools and equipment, often designated for the US, are grappling with rising costs and reduced demand. The impact is particularly painful for SME with a narrow customer base and less capital to absorb shocks. The logistics and freight services industry will also face headwind. This is because Singapore's position as a global logistics hub is being challenged by weaker cargo volumes, particularly US-bound shipments. Port authorities will slow down, and third-party logistics or 3PL providers will feel the impact with reduced or the termination in shipment. As of the chemical and petrochemical industry, this segment is also not spared too. Jurong Island, home to many multinational petrochemical players, could be seeing deferred capital expenditure and weaker export prices due to falling global demand for industrial chemicals. Contractor and support services provider in this ecosystem could see fewer project costs and contract renewals. All this will have ripple effect on the labor market. The impact of the tariffs will begin to appear in employment data in the next few quarters. In typical fashion, retrenchment could be on the rise, especially in the manufacturing, electronic and logistics sectors. Next, companies will freeze headcount and shorter work weeks will be implemented across companies. This will lead to reduced take-home pay. Obviously, 13 months of performance bonus will only become wishful thoughts. Young graduates entering the industry will see bleaker job prospects too. They may stay away and turn to other service-based industries like becoming a property agent instead. When such trends occur, this means there will be a vacuum that needs to be filled by foreigners going forward. Then what about mid-career workers aged 40 to 55 years old? Will they be struggling to transit due to skill mismatch? Will the high remuneration be an excuse for bosses to cut headcount and hire cheaper labor instead? All in all the above will lead to lower wage growth, and this means lower spending power. Will they still have the funds to upgrade? Or will they be downgrading instead? This brings me back to the next segment. While the property market is less immediately affected by tariffs than the trade sector, it serves as a lagging indicator of a broader economic sentiment. If unemployment increases and job confidence weakening, the residential market will surely react accordingly. Here, let me explore who will be impacted directly. Obviously, those that lost their job or receive a pay cut. This is especially so for those that are working in industry that have a direct relation to the tariffs. The first thing that comes to their mind is to downsize to a smaller property. This will allow them to manage their cash flow and mortgage in a more affordable manner. For those that are holding on to investment units, they may wait for their BUC property to achieve TOP and offload them before full mortgage repayment is required from the banks. for those that own resale properties, they can continue to hold on to them, provided that they have tenants that are paying their mortgage repayment. However, if the property is left vacant, they will have no choice but to offload them. Such buyers are usually those in the middle to upper income ceiling bracket that have the means to own private properties. Then, what about property investors? Well, investors, as their name call it, are those buying with an investment element. They are those who are previously looking to buy a second or even third property, may adopt a wait-and-see approach instead. Uncertainty about the labor market and economy outlook may just cool their interest in property altogether. For those that are still keen to invest, go for projects with a unique selling point. Avoid those projects and locations that traditionally have a lot of losers. But if they have reached a point that prices are so attractive, maybe it's worthwhile to place a bet. For HDB owners, for those affected due to retrenchment may choose to right size to a smaller flat instead. For those staying in prime area, they can still cash out and relocate to the heartland due to lower resale price there. However, if they are currently staying in a flat with a depreciating lease in the heartland, the only choice they can make is to move to another smaller flat within the same estate. For those they are at their wit's end, some may even relocate to Johor Bahru and commute to Singapore daily to work instead. For first-time buyers, married couple in their late 20s to early 30s may go for the BTO route instead of buying a private property as their matrimonial home is. This means there will be less take-up rate for new private homes. This is especially true that HDB BTO flats are far more affordable and BTO projects are located in prime location all around in Singapore. This is a no-brainer. Buy BTO flat, confirm BTO what forever. Lastly, what about HDB upgraders? Yes, for those that are still doing well, will continue to upgrade, since there will be less demand chasing after the same pie. This means private property price will be more enticing. They can either continue to look into the resale properties or executive condominiums. I think EC will gain traction since they are priced lower than any typical private condominiums. The only complaint I have is that some EC that are near to MRT station do not provide one-to-one car park lot. Why like that? Most EC owners drive late. Ask them to park in HDB car park and walk back home. You must be kidding me. This one I call no standard. If you watch the entire press conference like I do, the task force has mentioned that the government has many ammunition up their sleeves, depending on the severity to the economy. The task force could lay out a comprehensive package to help households, workers and businesses weather the storm. Such support, in my opinion, could include the all-important Job Support Scheme or JSS that help to cover wages for local employees. The goal is to retain jobs and prevent large-scale layoff. The government may expand the SkillsFuture program targeted at displaced workers to help them to pivot to other industries. There could also be temporary bridging loan to help SMEs struggling with cash flow issues due to export disruptions. Financial regulator may also introduce temporary mortgage relief scheme for borrowers who face sudden income disruptions. URA and HDB, as usual, will monitor the market sentiment closely. Developer may be given more leeway on launch deadline, while land sale in the GLS program could be adjusted in the second half of 2025 to avoid oversupply. Who knows, ABSD could be lower or totally removed to support the property market. Don't say it won't happen. Anyway, I think I can read the government mind pretty well. And I think I can do policy also. Do you agree with me? Singapore is not immune to the knock-on effect of global economic disruptions, especially those triggered by US policies. If US tariffs cause another recession, just like the subprime crisis back in 2008-2009, please hold, don't say China spread the Wuhan virus. For those that are worried about job prospects, you all don't need to worry too much. Our government has a budget surplus in the last financial year, and they can always tap into the reserve to roll out any programs. Here, it looks like the property market may once again recover as fast as it dropped, just like during the pandemic. That's why there is always this saying in Singapore, Singapore property price will only go up in one direction. Whether is that true, only time can tell. My only wish now is for COE price to drop during a recession. But frankly speaking, will it even drop? That's all. Thank you for watching.